CliffCentral.com.
Okay, well, we eventually made it back on. We had a complete and utter power failure here. It was no fun at all, except Pumi and I got to start our morning very differently to the way we usually would on the show, right, Pums?
Although, I actually was just thinking about it, that what people don't know is that we're just letting them into a conversation that
we could
have had that conversation on air.
No, we were.
It was really lovely, sitting out by the pool.
Pumi's having dreams about Schrodinger's cat, which is a whole other discussion. Well, maybe we'll get to that one day, or maybe we won't. All right, so welcome to the show. Sorry we are 40 minutes late, but we had no power at all. Zero. It all just died. Apparently, the generators were on here all night, which is crazy.
All night long.
And then they switched off. They ran out of
fuel
and power this morning at God knows what time, like 5:30 or whatever. So zero power, but we're back on, and it looks like we are ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the manager's been on the phone with Eskom since 4. It's been
Can you imagine that? Imagine being
what
on the phone.
Morning.
First of all, who's on Eskom's side?
At 4 in the morning.
I don't believe it for a second. I don't know about you, but I don't believe anyone from Eskom
is on. Do you think she's
that.
Just telling us that to make us feel better about the fact that we had no power? She's
No chance.
I've been trying to solve this since 4 in the morning.
Well, here we go with Mr. P, who says, cool, I get to watch live for a change. I work in the USA, so I don't usually watch the show live.
Or
work USA hours. Yeah, very nice. Cool. We're on.
Because of Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's Thanksgiving in America, and therefore it's also Black Friday tomorrow. We've been talking about this a lot.
I will be spending a little bit of time today, kind of looking. I'm looking for tires, if anybody knows.
Listen, tires are very expensive.
This is why I need to buy them on a Black Friday sale, yo.
You reckon they have some Black Friday tire sales?
So I know the one place close to my office has. So I'm just going to do a price compare.
All right.
Very grown-up thing to do.
Very.
I'm not like...
You know who's like very excited about it is Lebang. She always gets caught out by all the scams. So it's going to be Black Scam Friday for Lebang. All right.
Be careful out there, y'all. Be careful out there, people, with the scams. I also, on the news yesterday, like RCL kind of people were talking about all of that. Because like it's on Black Friday, it's at times like this where there's lots of excitement that you're just ripe for the picking. The scammers are waiting for you.
Okay, so.
Because it's going into December. This is the bit of it, right? It's their test drive.
Yeah.
For how much they can like scam people and what works and what
Correct.
Doesn't work.
So they start their machines. They start their engine. Gentlemen, start your engines for scamming people. This is the time. All right. So listen, we've got an interesting conversation a little later on in the Burning Platform with Pumi's holding up the book. The authors of this book, the Tabo Bester story, which I think is going to be fascinating. So that's Maresha Damons and Daniel Stain. Have written this book about, because this Tabo Bester story is just one of the weirdest things. I mean, I think they're already making it into a Netflix special. They'd have to, right?
I struggled with this book, and you know I like reading, and I still struggled because there's just so much chaos around the story.
Well, there's also chaos with OpenAI, and we haven't talked about this at all, but it's in the news this week, and it's the most extraordinary story. So I'm going to try and sketch the story. Pumi's probably going to do a much better job than I will at this. But I'm going to try and make sense of this for you quickly. So here's what we know. And this is based on what's been going on in the news just the last 2 or 3 days, okay? OpenAI have, and this is the latest, decided to reinstate their co-founder after nearly all of their employees threatened to quit after a surprise outing. Ousting.
Right?
The post triggered swift congratulations on X from key players in the saga, including former president Greg Brockman, who said he too is returning to the fold. Also CTO Mira Murati. Altman, who was fired by OpenAI's board on Friday following disagreements over how to develop and monetize artificial intelligence, had been in negotiations with the company to return. Those talks reached an impasse on Sunday, in part over pressure from Altman and others for existing board members to resign, according to people familiar with the matter. Instead, the board named a new leader who was the former Twitch CEO Emmett Shear and OpenAI's biggest backer, Microsoft. They said they would hire Altman to head up a new in-house AI team. Anyway.
Yes, MSFT.
Right. Now, within hours, most of OpenAI's 770 employees signed a letter to the new board saying they might quit and join Microsoft unless all board directors resigned and Altman was reinstated. So don't let it be said that there isn't power among the employees and you don't have to be unionized to do this.
The little people.
So but what really happened here? Help me understand.
Also, who did I see on Monday night? And tweeting about how they would, every single one of those technicians from OpenAI, if they wanted to leave, because they were threatening to leave, they would, what are the guys called? They would match their salaries if they came across to set up.
Wow, their, the Microsoft company.
I was just like, listen, this whole thing is chaos. If we thought that, so if we thought the Behance story was chaos, thought the WeWork story was chaos.
Which was?
This is off the fucking hinges. It is actually off the hinges.
But what happened here? Who were these idiots on the board who thought they were in a position to fire
the co-founder?
The co-founder. Because to me, like,
they're the money guys.
What an enormous amount of hubris do you have to have to be able to think that you can carry on running a company when you, A, didn't come up with the idea, B, you have none of the technical know-how, and C, you're just the finance people, probably because that money that you have doesn't even come from you. It comes from either other investors or inherited money or something else that has nothing to do with your skill or ability.
Listen.
So you've got a board of people who don't know what they are doing, which is the case in most companies across the world.
It's the VC guys always have a, you know, because you put in the money, you put in a person on the board.
Right.
And then they think, and you see how it's about monetizing
AI.
The AI.
Right.
That's where the problem is, because they're all thinking about how they're going to exit.
Yes.
How are they going to exit this thing?
This is, again, what happens when you put accountants and auditors in charge.
Yo.
And the world is being run by accountants and auditors, which is why we don't see anything beautiful. And everything feels meh. And it's all about balance sheets and numbers and extrapolations and OBITDA, right? These are not the things that we want to be dealing with as humans. No one's doing anything monumental anymore, because the minute you get the accountants and auditors in, they make it all so rational and so boring and so balance sheet oriented that everything except the tiniest bit of creativity that gets hidden in some corner that they don't manage to flush out.
And it's everything sad, else is right? Gone. Because in that world, in the world of money and balance sheets and numbers, you actually want to be able to recreate things. So they just want stability.
Yeah.
In order to succeed in those worlds, you need to be able to be safe. You need to be able to recreate.
Which is the opposite of pioneering.
The absolute opposite of what you need to create and move the dial forward.
Correct.
Is you need an insight, and we're unable to find a balance between those two things.
Slippery Pickle rightly in the comments says, bean counters, that's why everything we buy today is made like poo. It's exactly right. You look at all, watch any show you like about engineering. We're not building any of the magnificent structures that they built 200, 300 years ago. You know, I went and saw last weekend, I saw this thing that my great-grandfather built out of rocks. I promise you, the rocks are like half the size of this studio.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, how did that guy do that 100 years ago? And we can't put up a prefabricated building in more than 6 weeks.
One of my favorite accounts on X is about Gothic cathedrals.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I follow them on Instagram. Right? We couldn't build something like that now.
Well, you couldn't, because you couldn't justify it to the accountants. You couldn't it to the accountants why you're going to take 50 years and this amount of material and to build something like this. So the house of worship.
I look at this stuff and I think, you know, we really we've already peaked and we're on our decline in so many ways. We don't build anything beautiful, but even just think about products. Like you look at interior decoration in 2023, everything's gray. Everything's shades of gray. Everything is minimalistic. Everything's glass and chrome, and it's just boring. And everyone's houses look the same, outside and in. And we've lost all sense of individuality and creativity just in the products we make. All the logos look the same. You could basically, I went to this brilliant presentation yesterday from someone who just came back from Cannes.
Oh.
Right? And there's some good work. But one of the comments that was being made, you shaking your head, there was some good work. There was some smart stuff, but nothing that blew me out of the water, you know. The one comment that was made was you could basically, especially in things like financial services where the accountants really rule, you could take one company's logo, replace it with the other, and it wouldn't make a shred of difference. Mm. The messaging is exactly the same. It's all predictable. There's nothing about it that is truly causing waves. You know,
even here at home, if you think about almost all the commercials that you see now, you know, they are almost all of them are what's called a manifesto. All the brand stuff, it's a manifesto commercial, right? It's a
value statement, and it's boring.
Ooh, Lombard Tires.
Sis Pumi, Lombard Tires offering 4 tires for the price of 3. Started listening late, thought you'd take Thanksgiving off. Well, we started late, so it wasn't you. But Gray says, quite rightly, it's postmodernism. Postmodernism has ruined everything. Yes, but also the accountants. And no, listen, I mean, my brother is in the financial services arena. And there are lots of smart people that I know who I respect enormously who are in that space. But I'm afraid this idea, you know, it's kind of like Israel and Hamas. The fact that these two people could ever sit down and talk and take each other seriously is just not possible. And the same thing goes for accountants. I'm not saying either accountants or creatives are Hamas or Israel, but you put accountants and creatives in the room, they speak totally different languages. It's like putting aliens from a different planet into the same room as earthlings. So we have to look at this. I mean, like as people, we must just take stock of where we're headed once we let the numbers people rule and how absolutely devoid of soul the earth is. I have not seen a beautiful building being built since the 1920s. I really haven't.
And the
what's up, Brian?
What's up?
App's not going.
Sorry, guys.
Need that on. Need this on. And is it even working? See, Ryan's trying to get the app going. Oy, 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 oy. Oy,
we're just happy. Sound. We're there just we happy we're on the. But and so here's the thing, too, is we have to be, even in our own lives, conscious of what we are giving up.
Yeah.
For safety and comfort.
Well, we learned that during COVID, didn't we?
It's what we're giving up for
didn't
the
we,
safety.
Didn't we
and
see
comfort.
That during COVID when they promised us you'll be stay safe, stay home? Do you remember those people? Stay safe, stay home. Remember those people? Those are the people that we've put in boards, like OpenAI's board, like all of these places where you're meant to have big thinkers. Mm. We've put safe and secure people in there, Nunu blanket people, people who need to be reassured. The whole time. And those reassured people or the ones who want to reassure other people are exactly the opposite of the people who make humanity go forward.
So
really?
We were talking about the Arabian Nights out there just now before we came on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and also kind of like the way civilization kind of swings is a pendulum, right?
Yeah.
It swings between like complete licentious, like hedonistic
craziness,
and then all the way to
order,
super conservative. Yeah. So I'm hoping that we're currently in the swinging back part of the pendulum. We're going back to,
well,
you don't think?
I don't know. I don't know. There's some signs that we're heading in a certain direction, and then there are other signs that we're heading in exactly the opposite direction. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and maybe we'll get into some of this during the burning platform this morning. But the funny thing is, right, like people were talking about the rand being manipulated by the private sector. Have you seen this conversation? It's been going on social media among idiots. A lot of very stupid people.
the issue of the RAND manipulation, and it's one of those things. Kind of, I'm reading about it, but there's not enough conversation about it. There's not
all right,
enough.
Well, if you're worried about the RAND being manipulated, and if you look at the value of the RAND over the last 15 years, it has been in a steady decline. And as we've been mismanaged as a country, so the RAND has gone down. Now, there's no amount of private sector manipulation that can make that go up or down, mostly because the RAND is not a big player in the world's economy. It really isn't. It's like playing with a small set of shares from a small company on the New York Stock Exchange. It's not a big deal. So people are looking, as they always do, for an explanation for our failings.
No, but you
and instead
have
of blaming
also,
ourselves, they want to blame like some company.
Listen, this is one of those things that has many, and this is the thing I think about where we are in life right now, is there are so many aspects to a particular thing. And we only care about the smallest part of
the part
it. That
we,
you know?
The part that
but
immediately gives us a big explanation for a small thing.
There are a number of different things that must be looked at with regard to, and the fact that the story of RAND manipulation, of the failings of the guardrails at the Reserve Bank, and the absolute nature that has allowed, again, accountants and bean counters and traders to have this amount of power that has wrecked lives, that has wrecked the lives of people. And the fact that it's kind of passing like a ship in the night is, for me, just, and that's why I'm excited to talk to the guys coming in. Because I do think that Ground Up is doing a very interesting job in the space of media that not a lot of people are looking at, right? So that's why that is exciting for me.
It's a good one.
But I do think that there are so many aspects to this story. In America, the manipulation of currency in America would land people in fucking jail.
It should. But it won't.
We should have people's heads on a stake.
But again,
right now,
okay, so all
outside
of this,
the big banks.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. But this goes back to what we started talking about at the beginning, which is that you've got a bunch of people, like on the OpenAI board, who have no idea how to make money. All they do is they play with money and they do the smoke and mirrors stuff, and they put up huge numbers on screens. And none of that is real cash, and none of that is real value. And we've lost touch with where value is created. Mm. So whether it's designing a beautiful building, making a beautiful product, creating truly amazing advertising, whatever business you're in, that creative stuff, the actual value has been blown out by numbers that have been inflated, by balance statements that are not true. I mean, we know for a fact that despite the fact that all of these numbers people are meant to be the true, honest people, they're not. all of the auditing and accounting.
No, all of these guys
are the ones who are bullshitting.
They are the ones who...
Right?
So
ordinary people, let's say you make shoes. You make truly beautiful shoes. You are a cobbler in the old sense, right? And you make these amazing things. As soon as these guys get involved in your business, I mean, it's that old story of the fisherman who he goes fishing
on his little boat.
He goes on his little boat in the morning and he catches 10 fish or 3 fish or 5 fish or whatever. He goes home, cooks lunch for his family. They all sit around, they talk, they spend time together. He has an afternoon nap, and then he goes off to manage the rest of his little homestead. And then the next day he repeats this. And then an American businessman comes and sees him and says, hey, listen, why don't you also work from like 6 in the morning until 6 at night and you catch 100 fish, and then you can sell the surplus fish at the market and make tons of money. And then eventually you can also hire other people and their boats. They can work for you. You get 1,000 fish. And the guy goes, but why would I do that?
He says, because
then you would have the money to eventually just sit at home and be with your family.
And all these people would do all the work for you.
And he goes, I've already got that.
But I do that already.
Right. That's what it is. It's like greed. And I'm afraid, if anything, this is the stuff that is driving people in the world crazy today.
So I'm trying to find Kanego. Is
your son?
Yes. Kanego, my son, who mm-hmm. is now 16 and at that age of questioning all sorts of things about the bigger world.
Yes.
He's got his favorite musician at the moment is a Brit guy
mm-hmm.
called Ren, R-E-N.
Yeah.
And his favorite song is called Money Game. And yeah. it's one of those songs. It's got like part one, part two, part three, whatever. And it's all about capitalism, right? It's oh, all wow. about it is exactly that. And one of the of his favorite verses is how this guy talks about she sells seashells on the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
Shells have no value because they're on the ground and everybody can find them. So what you have to do is you have to take all the shells from the seashore and you have to hide them on an island. And once you hide them on an island, you can create value because then everybody wants them. Then you have marketing. Then you must make everybody want the shells. And then it's his favorite song at the moment. He feels like he's discovered something. And I'm just like, yeah, this is right on time. 16 years old.
That's exactly when it's meant to, yeah, you start questioning stuff.
The way of the world. I love it. I love to see it.
All right, well, we made it to 7 o'clock and we still got power, and coming up is the burning platform, so stick around. This has been the shortest hour of the show we've ever done, Pumi, because it's been actually, numerically, the accountants, the number crunchers have come in. They've told us it's actually the shortest show we've done so far. Coming up next, the burning platform. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.